show is underway. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome in. The 7 o'clock hour underway. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, back in the Palatial Fan Upstate Studios. We are live in Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of the 2024 ACC football kickoff, a.k.a. ACC Media Days, taking place right here in Hilton Uptown. Great to have you guys with us as we conclude our coverage courtesy of our good friends at Ingles Supermarkets. Ingles, the sponsor of this year's voyage up here to Charlotte, and we are very, very appreciative of Ingles for jumping on board and making this thing happen when football season rolls around. By the way, NFL preseason kicks off in a week from tonight is a thing that's happening. When you're starting your tailgating season, your tailgate HQ is Ingles. And do not forget, ladies and gentlemen, the most important tailgating accessory of all. Grab that cookies cake from Ingles. Grab that cookie cake. Untouchable. Cookie cake is, I gotta tell you, if we're power ranking cakes, and I know it's not a cake because it's a cookie, but we've all accepted that even though it is a cookie, it is a cake. If I show up to your tailgate and you don't have a cookie cake, you're not getting any better than a B-minus as a tailgate. You gotta, you a cookie cake guy, Lonzo? I'm a cookie cake fiend.
Yes, we've had this discussion on the show before.
I understand, but like, I'm not going to be like Lonzo when I had this discussion in the past. I'm giving you the opportunity. We got to tee off on the greatness of an Ingles cookie cake.
No, listen, if you're going to get cookie cake, you need to go to Ingles because that's where the best cookie cakes are.
That's a fact. That's not even me blowing smoke because they're a wonderful sponsor, and they are. I'm just telling you straight up, cookie cakes are the jam, and Ingles cookie cakes take the cake.
I will say, we invoke Mark Ryan's name many times just because it's fun, but one thing that he got right every single week was how good the cookie cake was at Ingles.
Couldn't disagree more, could not disagree at all, could not agree more, both of those things. The cookie cake is untouchable, and as far as cookie cakes go, Ingles has got, and I don't know what it is, because it's like, it's that cookie cake, though, that when you cut it into the piece, and you pick that piece up, it doesn't like fall apart on you. It stays in cookie cake piece form. But then when you bite into that piece of cookie cake, man, it just melts. It just melts. That's what it should do.
You haven't had breakfast yet, have you?
I have not. Not only have I not, but I'm looking the little cafes right over there. Lonzo, can I tell you what my two favorite words in the English language are? Not those two, the other two. My other two favorite words in the English language, Alonzo, omelet station. Omelet station.
As long as you hit it early, because I'm concerned about the omelet station, like an hour in.
Oh,
but
no,
if you're getting it, when they just set it up and everything's fresh, yeah, for sure.
I am currently watching just over there and on the other side of the little post right there. I'm watching that, and they even have the omelet chef in a big hat, so you know you can trust them.
Oh, there you go.
If the chef doesn't have a big hat, is he even a chef, right? I don't know why you have to have the big hat. I mean, I do. We had this conversation on the show once, too, and we were informed one time by a restaurateur that the purpose of the big hat for the chef is so that everybody else in the kitchen can find him, can identify him, right? That's why he's the only one that's allowed to wear it, so that when the sous chef has a question for the yes chef and he turns his head, he can easily find the head chef because he's the guy in the big hat. They gave my man the big hat because there's no one more important in that room over there than the guy that's at the omelet station. And I will tell you, during the break there, I ran over to the restroom, all right, to sort myself out, powder my nose a little bit. And when I walked by Zoe, I was watching him grate fresh cheddar cheese for the omelet station.
Nice.
That's untouchable. That you're telling me I'm getting cheese that you're just shredding it for the omelets? This is just shredded cheese? Yeah. Omelet stations, absolutely untouchable. untouchable. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 7:05 in the morning. It is just about that time. 54 minutes and some change from now. You got to clock in. You got to lock in. Respond to those passive-aggressive emails from the boss, and then you're going to walk down that hallway. You're going to head down to the water cooler, and who knows what assortment of characters you're going to meet down there. But one thing is for certain. One thing is for sure, and that thing is you're going to talk sports. You're going to talk sports. And if you're going to talk sports at work, you need to know what's going on. And if you need to know what's going on, I have good news. We do this. Lonzo clicked that button with a purpose. With intent.
I don't, you know, you're acting like you feel guilty or something. I don't know why.
I don't feel guilty at all. I didn't do anything wrong. All right? I didn't do anything wrong. Don't you gaslight me into thinking I'm the bad guy here. I'm not. I did nothing wrong.
Hey, down the hall, I was called a gaslighter. I don't even know what that means.
That's exactly what a gaslighter would say. All right. It's your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports today. Let us dive right in. With item number one. I have good news and I have bad news, ladies and gentlemen. Would you like to start with the good news or would you like to start with the bad news? The bad news? Okay, I agree. Here's the bad news. Looks like Inside the NBA on TNT may be going away after all. We got a little excited, little positive earlier in the week because I thought Ernie and Kenny and Chuck and Shaq Daddy, a.k.a. the Big Aristotle, were going to be hanging around for another few years because Warner Brothers Discovery, the owners of TNT, said that they were going to match a part of the NBA's media rights deal that was signed by Amazon Prime Video. And the plan was to match that deal in a way that TNT would still be able to carry games on Thursday nights and on other nights in a streaming capacity, but it would also open the door for the, I don't want to say return because it hasn't technically gone away yet, but the maintenance of Inside the NBA on TNT. And I will say this, Zoe, sincere question. With the exception of, and I think even some people have fallen off on this, but with the exception of College Game Day on Saturday mornings, is there another sports television show that we go to bat for as hard as we go to bat for Inside the NBA on TNT? I can't think of one.
Well, I know it's not Big Noon South because there's a guy on there that you would never go to bat for. Yeah, you're probably right.
And you know, like maybe in Ohio, maybe in Michigan, they would go to bat for Big Noon Kickoff. But I think Inside the NBA, I don't think it's the best television studio show in sports right now. I know for a fact that it is. I dare you to put anything up against Inside the NBA on TNT. But what I will say is that show's beloved. It is beloved, and it is very sad that it is likely going away. And it's likely going away because the NBA rejected the match deal that was offered by Warner Brothers Discover in order to take Amazon Prime Video off of the deal and replace it with Warner Brothers Discovery / TNT. The NBA signed its 11-year media rights deal with Disney, NBC, and Amazon Prime Video yesterday after saying it was not accepting Warner Brothers Discovery's $1.8 billion per year offer to continue their longtime relationship with the league. The media rights deals were approved by the league's Board of Governors last week and will bring the league roughly $76 billion with a B dollars over the next 11 years. Warner Brothers Discovery had 5 days to match a part of those deals, said it was exercising their right to do so earlier this week, but the NBA yesterday said it was not considered a true match, which means that this upcoming season, the 24-25 season, will be the last for TNT after nearly 40 years as a home of NBA basketball. However, Warner Brothers Discovery said we will not go quietly into that dark night. They are going to fight. They said they would take, quote, appropriate action, end quote, after saying they believe the NBA was required to accept their offer. We will find out. But if nothing is done about it, it could very well mean that Inside the NBA on TNT, as we know it, may be going away. That wasn't the only deal that got signed yesterday. The WNBA also announced a new 11-year media rights deal featuring partnerships with Disney, NBC, and Amazon Prime Video. Their deal over 11 years valued at $2.2 billion or about $200 million per year, but future agreements are still on the table. There is room to sign more broadcast partners down the line. The belief is that the overall media rights could end up being closer to $3 billion over that 11-year tenure. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said, quote, partnering with Disney, Amazon, NBCU marks a monumental chapter in WNBA history and clearly demonstrates the significant rise in value and the historic level of interest in women's basketball. The deal will see over 250 games, over 125 regular season games plus playoff games, including a minimum of 25 on Disney platforms, 50 on NBC, and 30 on Prime Video, with room for more to be picked up elsewhere. Disney will also distribute the first round playoff series this year, NBC and Prime distributing one each, while semifinal and final series will rotate between the platforms. So a huge deal being signed by the WNBA yesterday as well. Let's get to item number two. Tonight, the opening ceremonies of the 2024 Summer Olympic Games from Paris, France, but the games are already underway as the soccer and rugby tournaments kicked off this week. And they kicked off and the Americans got kicked in the bootay. I believe in French, Lonzo, it's called Le Derrière. I think it's how they say.
It sounds accurate, yes.
I think that's, I'm not multilingual, but I'm pretty close. The Americans took a 3-0 whooping at the hands of the French yesterday. The French, of course, a powerhouse in football at every level. Now, keep in mind, these are U23 teams. Olympic Games require the use of under 23-year-old players, with two exceptions per team. You get two veteran players. The rest must be U23 players. The Americans held the French scoreless for 61 minutes before Alexander Lacazette was able to knock through the first for French, past U.S. keeper Patrick Schultz to make it 1-0. Michael Olis made a high-profile move from Crystal Palace to Bayern Munich, doubled the lead soon after goal number one, and Loïc Badé smashed home a header before full time. Thierry Henry, the heck, I should have put Thierry Henry's name in the Sports Flash too. Would you have called him Henry?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
I told you. 3 years of French, dude. I mean, you know.
Thierry Henry's host side get the opening win and the full 3 points and a plus three goal differential. The Americans, I'm going to give them credit, played well for 60 minutes, but once that first goal found the back of the strings, it was all downhill from that. The Americans did have a chance from Jordi Mihailovic early in the matchup that hit the crossbar, and then the French were just full throttle and all afterburner the rest of the way. This is the United States' first Summer Olympic Games since 2008. They open in third place in Group A behind New Zealand, which beat Guinea 2-1 in the other Group A match of the day. The Americans will play Game 2 on Sunday against that New Zealand squad and now have their backs against the wall should they wish to escape from group play and into the knockout round. 3-0, France knocks off the United States and take the full 3 points. Let us go to item number three. Tuesday on the show, I made a bold prediction about the Atlanta Braves and one that I am going to stick with. Tuesday, I said that by next Tuesday, and we will check in to see if I was right or wrong. I said by next Tuesday, unless something chaotic was to happen, I thought the Atlanta Braves were going to end up in a spot where they would be giving away the number one overall wild card position in the National League. They did not help their cause last night as they dropped game number four in a row, this one at the hands of the Cincinnati Reds. Alan Winans went out there as the starter, gave up 7 earned runs in 2.2 innings of work, including a pair of dingers, 6 hits, 7 runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts for Winans, and it did not get any better the rest of the way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know the Braves are hurt. I know they got a lot of players that are having to step in and play different spots. You had to go get Eddie Rosario, who got cut by the D.C. Nationals. Had a great debut with the Bravos, but hasn't really helped since then. He went 0-for-3 yesterday. You've had to go back to Laureano, who has stepped in different spots in the outfield. He was unable to get anything going yesterday. In fact, only 2 guys yesterday did anything at all. Sean Murphy, Orlando Arcia were both 2-for-4. 2-for-3 was Arcia. Matt Olson finally got back to a couple of hits. He went 2-for-5, but no RBIs because nobody ahead of him could get on. The Braves, in fairness, did collect 10 hits yesterday. And had they paired this offensive outing with a Max Fried or a Chris Sale or a Reynaldo Lopez type outing, maybe they'd give themselves a shot. But this is just kind of where we are at this point with this team. I don't think they've given up, as I heard Cole Bryson accuse them of. I just think they're in a bad spot right now. They did have, according to reports out of Atlanta, a players-only meeting. You know what that means, Lonzo, when teams have a players-only meeting. Yeah, things are not going well in the ATL, my dudes and my dudettes. The Braves dropped to 54-46. Now they are just 8 games over 500, but more importantly, not only are they now a full 9 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies, but they are only a game and a half above the New York Mets. The Mets. M-E-T-S, Mets, Mets, Mets. I know that's not their thing, but it works. Shut up. They are 1.5 games up on the Mets right now. But here's the problem. As far as that number one wild card spot, that first overall wild card seed, well, ladies and gentlemen, I am sad to report to you that they now share a win total with the San Diego Padres, which means I am just a couple of games away from my prediction coming true before we even get to the damn weekend. They are just 1 win ahead of the Cardinals of St. Louis, who are on a bit of a heater right now. They are, as of now, just 2 wins above the Pittsburgh Pirates. Paul Skeens is a dude, all right? And I like the Pirates. Cody Decker and I both agree the Pirates might be a wild card team this year. I just didn't think they'd be a wild card team over the Braves. And if you're keeping track, they are also just 1 win ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks. There are now 4 teams in the National League that are breathing down the neck of the Atlanta Braves right now. One of them was in the World Series last year. The other 2 out of the NL Central. Yeah, that lead is indeed poof for the Atlanta Braves. Listen, I don't like it. Makes me sick. I am nauseous right now talking about it. As a Braves fan, but as a baseball analyst, I made the call on Tuesday that Atlanta by next Tuesday would not have the number one overall wild card seed. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to look like a stinking genius and also a very, very sad boy on Tuesday when we spin around that prediction and prove that I was correct. So, I don't know what you're saying. Nope for. I called the shot. They're 0-4 since then, Lonzo. It is painful to accept reality sometimes. Trust me, I avoid acknowledging reality as often as possible. Reality's a bad, scary place, and I like to get away from it as much as I can.
All right, you got me there. That's true. That's true. You do like to do that.
The best I can. I'm actually quite good at escaping reality when I allow myself. But you're 0-4. All right, you're 1-4 off the break. You've lost 4 in a row, 2 to the Cardinals, 2 to the Reds. The best thing that happened to Atlanta yesterday was that the back half of a doubleheader got rained out, or they would have they'd have lost 5 in a row, and they would have surrendered the first overall wild card seed in the National League. And they'd have done it yesterday, 2 days after I predicted it, that it would take a week. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Got a lot of ACC ball we're talking about. We'll let you know. 9 o'clock, Hayden S. Mario coming on the show. We're going to have him call in, and we'll talk a little NFL training camp with him. working on Rashad Beard, waiting on Rashad Beard, haven't heard back from Rashad. We'll see if he's going to show up or not. I hope he does. Miss Rashad. Been a minute since we talked to him. And Fight Club coming up at 9:20. Busy day. Don't go anywhere. The Rob Brown Show rolls on after this. It is the Fan Upstate. For those of you that have been following our coverage of ACC Media Days this week, and especially those of you that have been watching on the live stream, you are aware of the we haven't officially named it, though we probably should. There is a there is an electrical wire covering on the ground behind me. It's like a little rubber mound that's about 2.5 inches tall, about 6 inches wide, and sloped on both sides. And all week long, I have had the streaming camera turned just enough to leave it in the frame, because it has been causing, shall we say, missteps for people since I got here on Monday. Okay, and so all week long we've been watching people kind of stumble on this thing, and just so you know, I'm not a complete jerk. If we're on break or whatever, and I see somebody coming, I'll do my best to warn them, like, "Hey, watch your step." But, like, when I'm on the air, I obviously can't every time. And so we've been watching people kind of hit the brakes as they go over this thing, especially people with bags or people who are on their phones not paying attention. Well, during the break, guess what I did? I was walking down the hallway. I was on my phone banging out an email in response to something that a higher up at the station sent me, just so we were all on the same page as far as what today was going to shape up like. And as I was walking back from over there, back to over here, I got by the thing. I got by the thing. The front of the right toe dragged on it, and I nearly became the first full victim, like the first to the ground victim that I am aware of the tripping hazard there. So, that's karma in the universe, man. That's what it is. I got Lonzo.
You know, in defense of the people who have nearly stumbled, some have stumbled but haven't fallen, there's a really loud guy right next to the thing, and they're watching him and hearing him, and you're a distraction.
I mean, I'm not saying that's incorrect. I'm not going to agree with it, but I'm also not going to say you're wrong.
Plus, I believe you have your screen set up to where people can see that you're also streaming.
Oh, yeah.
We know that because we had some posers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have had a number of people over the past couple of days that have looked to the left or the right of the sign behind me, realized they were on a stream, and hit us with the duck face pose a couple of times. And I think that so far, one or two of them have gotten by the tripping hazard as well. I will say, though, I don't know if you can see it, they have put a cone up next to it today.
I do see the cone.
Yeah.
And you know, it's only been, well, who knows if maybe you
I don't know if it was there yesterday
or not. Because you weren't there yesterday.
Yeah.
So, but good move by them. Took them a couple days, but they realized the hazard.
They figured it out.
You know, it's a big yellow cone. When you're sitting the way you're sitting, people can't see it on the stream, but it's there, and it's very noticeable.
It is.
In front of that wonderful polished walnut or whatever that is on that wall. I don't know.
It is nice. It's a nice hotel. You know, it's nice. Nice digs, I believe, is what they say. All right, let's get to some stuff here. Since we got just a couple of minutes in this segment, I think it's only appropriate at this point, as we were not on the air yesterday, to address something that absolutely rocked the NFL world yesterday, something that turned the NFL on its head, and that something was Joe Burrow's head. As Joe Burrow decided going into spring training that he was going to go from Joey Ice to Joey Ice Ice Baby. He was going to go from Joey B to Joey M, as in Joey M&M from 2004.
Thank you, because I was wondering when the real Joe Burrow would stand
Please
up.
Please stand up.
Yes.
Joey B said, "I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool," and went with a short bleached blonde haircut. And here's the thing. So, if any of my guys showed up to a Rob Brown sponsored event with that, they probably catch a lot of flack from the fellas. Joey B has just been celebrated for this. Like, do you understand how cool that you have to be to show up in 2024 with the 2003 Justin Timberlake and be able to pull it off, to be able to rock into an NFL camp and have everybody go, I wonder if I could get away with the shaved, bleached look, because Joey B did it.
Yeah, but I mean, and it's sad because he had a good head of hair before he did this. And I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to not look like Macaulay Culkin. And this helped. But I think, you know, from a distance, he looks more like Pete Davidson. And I don't know if that's what he was going for.
See, I didn't get the Pete Davidson vibes. I got Eminem, but like if he grew up on a golf course. Right, like that's what I got. I got Eminem, but I eat filet mignon vibes out of Joey B.
I guess you would know about that. So
I mean, yeah. I mean, what do you want?
You know. Okay.
I was listening yesterday as I was rolling around a little bit, because I came back to Greenville for the Creed concert on Tuesday, and yesterday before I got in the vehicle to come back up here to Charlotte last night for also the Creed show. I met the fiance for lunch, right? She took lunch from her office. We met up and had lunch. And as I was going to lunch, I'm flipping channels, and I heard the godfather of sports talk, Jim Rome, which you can hear on this station from noon to three every single weekday afternoon. I heard Rome talking about it. And Rome said, as is kind of a rule, it's on this one too, personal appearances are out of bounds as show fodder, which I absolutely agree with Jim Rome on that, all right? But then he said, except Joey B, we're going to talk about him. And I went, oh, no, my man is about to put Joey B on blast. Sorry, Joey M, Min M on blast. He's about to get after my guy. And Jim Rome said, I'm going to tell you right now, I saw this and I thought maybe I could bring it back. Maybe I should go get the peroxided hair again. Maybe I should go bleach the locks again, cut it down, cut it tight, and lock the bleached blonde look back in. And it went from what I thought Rome intended to be a ha-ha funny bang on Joey B and turned into the entire army of clones going, we are about to have an epidemic of football fans going out there and getting the 04 Timberlake back.
All right, so Shane brings up a good point. He throws out Cody Rhodes. So maybe he's just a Cody Rhodes friend, a believer. Maybe he believes in Joe Hendry because, you know, Joe Hendry's got that look too. So maybe that's what he's doing. I don't know.
If I may. Adrenaline in my soul. Bengals win the Super Bowl. Like, it's done. It's over. You can book it. The fight song's already there. Joey B's coming out to pyro and whoa! And I'm here for it.
All right.
I'm here for it.
You didn't see what happened behind you when you did.
Did I catch some eyes?
There was an older dude, a sturdy gentleman, who right when you did it, he was trying to push his luggage forward and it got caught. And it just right at the exact moment. It was beautiful. He had to turn around and take it backwards. But, yeah, I thought he was going over right when you were singing.
I mean, what'd you say earlier? I am a distraction.
Yes, which I definitely would have clipped, and it would have been up on the stream really fast.
Not only am I a distraction.
I haven't done a reel yet, but that would have been one.
That would have been the first one. I'm going with it. I'm going with it. All year long, we'll be singing Adrenaline in My Soul, Bengals to the Super Bowl. Joey B will do it once again. Whoa! It's book it.
You
can't rock that haircut and do anything but be a guy in 2024.
Your song is very disrespectful on many levels. I just want to point that out.
I don't care. Bengals by nine. And I'm going to add it up. We know our Super Bowl matchup, Lonzo. We know what our Super Bowl matchup. Our Super Bowl matchup is booked. On one hand, representing the American Football Conference comes Joey Rhodes, Joey B, Joey M&M. and over from the National Football Conference will be your New Orleans Saints. Why? Because Lonzo, our guy, a guy who transcends fandom.
Here's the thing, what you're going to do is you're going to stop right now. You're not going to say what that is because you're going to tease it for Fight Club when we're going to talk about it extensively.
Then I will simply say.
I mean, you can override me here.
No.
But that is on the list for Fight Club.
See, I think it's so good. I think it's so nice we can talk about it twice.
So you're overriding.
I bring it up here? Right. No, I won't. Yeah, I won't. Listen, because when we were going through the pre-show, I was trying to have a very pleasant conversation with Lonzo when he told me to shut up because he wasn't done with Fight Club yet. And it made me sit here in silence for 20 minutes. All right?
I think we know that's not true.
Told me just, to my face.
You're just trying
stop
to,
talking to me.
You're just trying to leave me in line again. That's what you're trying to do.
I will simply say, representing the AFC, Joey B. Representing the NFC, the Saints. And you'll find out why. You'll find out why at 9:20 this morning when it's time for Fight Club with the great one Lonzo, where we talk all things MMA, boxing, and pro wrestling. And that's coming up later this morning at 9:20. All you need to know is that Joey B, Joey Ice Baby, Joey M, Manem, is going to the Super Bowl. Whoa. It's happening. You can book it now. That guy rocking that look, Bengals by 90 week after week. I'm betting the over on win total. I'm betting a divisional title. I'm betting a showing in the Super Bowl. I'm betting a win in the Super Bowl. You can't beat that guy. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob of the Great One, Lonzo, with you. 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. You can text us at 71307, 71307, if you want to go in that direction. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Texter said that they were having some issues with us live on the radio app, but we're good now, so that's great news. Texter said, I love the Manning cast. It's not as good as Inside the NBA, but it's also not as old. I'm going to say I'm a big Manning cast guy. I think this is something Lonzo and I have disagreed on. I love the Manning cast, and I prefer the Manning cast to the traditional broadcast. Lonzo's the exact other way around. And the reasoning for me is the reasoning that I like it and Lonzo doesn't. I like when you get, and this is probably more apt for a certain breed of cat. I don't need Joe Buck telling me what happened every time the ball is snapped. I have eyeballs. I can see it already. So to have a different perspective and watch it and listen through the eyes of somebody who is going to go a little bit deeper into the X's and O's, and also just be a couple of dudes sitting on the couch being a couple of dudes, I just have fallen into that. And I think that's why I like Inside the NBA on TNT for the same reasons, though, is because you got three dudes who used to do it. Then you got Ernie, who is as unique of a character as you're going to find anywhere on TV, and just a dude I want to grab some brewskis with and talk basketball. I like an alternative discussion to just the same talking heads saying the same thing. I like different.
All right, so when I watch a football game, I barely notice the play-by-play because I'm doing, you know, analysis in my head. As far as Manning cast goes, if I want to see that, I'll watch Mystery Science 3000 or whatever year it is, because that's basically what they're doing, and they're a distraction to the game. So are they entertaining? Absolutely. But when you're starting to pay more attention to them than you are the actual game, which is our job to talk about the game that just happened, I don't need that distraction. I'd rather just watch a game. If I want an entertaining sports show, I'll watch this show on playback on stream, or I'll watch McAfee, or I'll watch someone like that.
That is the one time that I would argue that my ADHD becomes a superpower because I'm 100% locked into both.
All right, so don't act like I can't do two things at once because I can do 15 things at once. I just sit down in front of me while I'm trying to watch this. That's why at wrestling, when I go to wrestling, it's like, sit down, dude. I mean, cheer where you need to cheer. But in the middle of a thing, I don't want to hear your too sweet thing. Do you want everyone to look at you? No, I don't want to look at you. I want to look at the people in the ring. In this case, I don't look at Manning. I don't look at that forehead. I want to look. If I want to look at a big head, I look in the mirror. I want to watch the game.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, the one knock that I'm like, okay, I'm on board with that I have is how frequently they make the game the little box and make the Mannings the big box. Like, it should just be the game the big box, put the Mannings in the little box, and when you have a guest on, just add a third box that is also down in the corner. Outside of that, I like the different perspectives. I like Peyton talking about the play in process, calling out the spots, calling out the right shots to hit, et cetera. I dig it. And like I said, I think that's why I like Inside the NBA on TNT, because the boys know ball, and they're going to break down ball from more than an elementary perspective. And I guess for me, that's what it comes down to, is I like when the game is being broken down at a higher level than you are apt to get with just your regular play-by-play guys. He runs the ball off the right-hand side, 6 yards on the carry, that's a first. Like, tell me what happened, because I know what I'm looking at, but, like, even as a knower of ball, there are still things that you might point out that I miss, and I appreciate having that extra element, which I think the boys on Inside the NBA on TNT bring to the discussion, which is why, I do not want that show to go away. I don't want that show to go away. I want that show to stick around for as long as we can get that show to stick around. So we'll see what happens with it as we get a little bit closer. The NBA signed a $76 billion television deal that we are we're going to see what comes out of it. We're going to see what happens over the next couple of years to that show. Talking a lot of ACC ball, we have talked about a couple of different teams so far. One of them that I brought up was the Miami Hurricanes. We talked about Mario Cristobal and the fact that just historically, this dude has not gotten the most out of his teams. And again, once is an occurrence, twice is a pattern, three times is just what it is, right? Or I should say twice is a trend, three times is a pattern. Three times it just is what it is, and that's kind of where I'm at with this team. I'm at the point where I got to think Miami has got to be skeptical. And here's what I'll say. Despite the fact that this team has, to me, put together a roster that should be lockstep with Clemson, should be lockstep with Florida State, should be lockstep with those teams for contention in this conference, I honestly don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be. I've seen this team in years gone by lay down. I've seen this team quit on Mario Cristobal, and nothing changes about the guy, right? Like, I compare him right now to what I'm seeing out of Brian Snicker in the Atlanta Braves, right? Atlanta is flat right now. Atlanta's in a bad place right now. Atlanta can't get out of their own way. They can't make anything happen. Even the day that they do, in their second to last loss, they had three hits. A group of MLBers had three hits. As a team, they went 3-4-29. That's not good. Then in a game, they turn around and they get 10 hits. They give up 9 runs, and they lose that game as well. And I've said this to Cody Decker. I've said it on Bet for the Cycle. I've said it on this show. I've said it on You Better You Bet. I've said it on every other show that I've hosted or guested on. The most frustrating thing in the world for me is, like, every time they turn the camera around to Brian Snicker, he's just kind of like sitting on the bench looking around. Just another Tuesday. Braves lose. Just another Tuesday. And it's getting very frustrating because, to me, like, you got to do something. You got to do something, right? You got to bench somebody. You got to do something. And it's like Brian Snicker's not. I look at Mario Cristobal and I see the same thing. I see a coach who has spent three seasons watching his team underperform, watching his team lay down, and watching nothing come of it. And that's got to stop. All right? It's got to stop. All right. I wanted to do this. I put together a list of what I think, great one, is going to be the most impactful games in this conference so far this year. Put together a list of games that I think are going to be the games that dictate what this conference is going to look like when it is all said and done. And here's what I got. There's nowhere better to start than week one, game one, and that is Clemson and Georgia, right? Clemson, Georgia is a big deal. And it's not a big deal to me in terms of the result of the contest. It's a big deal to me in terms of learning who the hell Clemson is this year, right? Are they going to roll over? If they come out and they get punched in the mouth by Georgia, and they will.
By the way, it is a bigger deal if they were to win.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I don't care if they win by a point in the ninth overtime. Like, if they win this game, everybody else in the ACC's got to be on notice at that point. Florida State's on notice. SMU's on notice. Miami's on notice. If they win this game, everybody else is for sure, for certain, on notice. But to me, sorry, they're not winning this game, all right? Like, I'm all for the any given Saturday stuff. Y'all, Georgia is on a different level. The question to me isn't, can they win this game? Will they? And the answer is yes, they can win this game. But it will take Clemson playing a perfect game at a very, very high offensive output that we just haven't seen the last couple of years. And it will take Georgia making mistakes. A couple of turnovers, a couple of dumb plays here and there. It'll take mistakes from Uga and a perfectly efficient game from Clemson. The question mark I have is, are you A, going to compete? Are you B, not going to roll over? If you end up down 17, 20, 24 points, are you still going to come out firing, trying to get it right? And if the answer is yes, now all of a sudden that game in week two against Appalachian State, now that game's very interesting, right? Because do you turn around and you do what you should do and roll Appy at the house by 35? And we're going to get an idea. We are going to get an idea of who Clemson is on night one. But that is not the only week one game that I think matters. The other week one game, Miami opens up against Florida. Now, this is interesting because I think you have in this game a pair of coaches that may very well have their future at their current schools dictated by the result of this game. This game's in Gainesville, Florida. Billy Napier, when he was brought over, a lot of folks wanted to say that Billy Napier was the future. Billy Napier was the guy that was going to point this team in the right direction. He was going to get the recruiting right. Offensively, this team was going to hit a next level. And frankly, Florida hasn't. I'm not going to say they have regressed under Billy Napier, but they have certainly not progressed under Billy Napier. Miami, on the flip side, if Mario Cristobal loses this game against Florida on the road at Florida, if Mario Cristobal walks out of this game against, and I'm going to say, an inferior Florida Gator team, but it is in Gainesville, still one of the most difficult places to play, especially in week one when the Gator faithful have some level of belief in this squad. If Mario Cristobal loses this game at Florida in week one, Miami fans will be calling for him. They'll be coming for his head at that point. And I think that's a very big deal. So, I'm going to say week one, easily the two biggest games. Florida State, Georgia Tech, week zero. I'm going to say that qualifies, right? Because that, to me, is going to either tell everybody that FSU maintained levels of competitiveness that everybody thought they were going to lose when Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman and Trey Benson and the rest of that offense and Jordan Travis all went to the league, or it's going to tell everybody that they have taken the step back that so many people think that they have. That game's in Dublin, Ireland, so you've got all of the travel circumstances at play, too. Those are the three games from week one. Tell you what we're going to do when we come back in the third hour of the show. We will take a look at the rest of what I consider the most impactful games of the ACC calendar this year. We will continue that after Lonzo does the most impactful thing that happens in these 4 hours, and he sports flashes you.
The Team USA soccer team got off to a rough start at the Summer Olympics, suffering a 3-0 defeat at the hands of powerhouse France. The U.S. held France goalless for just over an hour. But after Alexander Lacazette beat Patrick Schult, the floodgate opened. Michael Oli and Loic Abadie finished off the assault. The Americans face New Zealand Sunday in game number two. The NBA has rejected an offer from Warner Brothers that might have signaled the return of the popular studio show Inside the NBA on TNT. Instead, the league signed an 11-year media rights deal with Disney, NBC, and Amazon Prime Video, valued at $76 billion. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob of the Great One, Lonzo, with you. 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-326-3663. You can text us at 71307, 71307, if you want to go in that direction. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Texter said that they were having some issues with us live on the radio app, but we're good now, so that's great news. Texter said, I love the Manning cast. It's not as good as Inside the NBA, but it's also not as old. I'm going to say I'm a big Manning cast guy. I think this is something Lonzo and I have disagreed on. I love the Manning cast, and I prefer the Manning cast to the traditional broadcast. Lonzo's the exact other way around. And the reasoning for me is the reasoning that I like it and Lonzo doesn't. I like when you get – and this is probably more apt – for a certain breed of cat. I don't need Joe Buck telling me what happened every time the ball is snapped. I have eyeballs. I can see it already. So to have a different perspective and watch it and listen through the eyes of somebody who is going to go a little bit deeper into the X's and O's, and also just be a couple of dudes sitting on the couch being a couple of dudes – I just have fallen into that, and I think that's why I like Inside the NBA on TNT for the same reasons, though, is because you got three dudes who used to do it, then you got Ernie, who is as unique of a character as you're going to find anywhere on TV, and just a dude I want to grab some brewskis with and talk basketball. I like an alternative discussion to just the same talking heads saying the same thing. I like different.
All right, so when I watch a football game, I barely notice the play-by-play because I'm doing, you know, analysis in my head. As far as Manning cast goes, if I want to see that, I'll watch Mystery Science 3000 or whatever year it is, because that's basically what they're doing, and they're a distraction to the game. So are they entertaining? Absolutely. But when you're starting to pay more attention to them than you are the actual game, which is – our job to talk about the game that just happened. I don't need that distraction. I'd rather just watch a game.
That is one time.
If I want an entertaining sports show, I'll watch this show on playback on stream, or I'll watch McAfee, or I'll watch someone like that.
That is the one time that I would argue that my ADHD becomes a superpower, because I'm 100% locked into both.
All right, so don't act like I can't do two things at once, because I can do 15 things at once. I just, like, sit down in front of me while I'm trying to watch this. That's why at wrestling, when I go to wrestling, it's like, sit down, dude. I mean, cheer where you need to cheer. But in the middle of a thing, I don't want to hear your too sweet thing. Do you want everyone to look at you? No, I don't want to look at you. I want to look at the people in the ring. In this case, I don't look at Manning. I don't look at that forehead. I want to look. If I want to look at a big head, I look in the mirror. I want to watch the game.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the one knock that I'm like, okay, I'm on board with that I have is how frequently they make the game the little box and make the Mannings the big box. Like, it should just be the game the big box, put the Mannings in the little box, and when you have a guest on, just add a third box that is also down in the corner. Outside of that, I like the different perspectives. I like Peyton talking about the play in process, calling out the spots, calling out the right shots to hit, et cetera. I dig it. And like I said, I think that's why I like Inside the NBA on TNT, because the boys know ball, and they're going to break down ball from more than an elementary perspective. And I guess for me, that's what it comes down to, is I like when the game is being broken down at a higher level than you are apt to get with just your regular play-by-play guys. He runs the ball off the right-hand side, 6 yards on the carry, that's a first. Like, tell me what happened, because I know what I'm looking at, but, like, even as a knower of ball, there are still things that you might point out that I miss, and I appreciate having that extra element, which I think the boys on Inside the NBA on TNT bring to the discussion, which is why, I do not want that show to go away. I don't want that show to go away. I want that show to stick around for as long as we can get that show to stick around. So we'll see what happens with it as we get a little bit closer. The NBA signed a $76 billion television deal that we are we're going to see what comes out of it. We're going to see what happens over the next couple of years to that show. Talking a lot of ACC ball, we have talked about a couple of different teams so far. One of them that I brought up was the Miami Hurricanes. We talked about Mario Cristobal and the fact that just historically, this dude has not gotten the most out of his teams. And again, once is an occurrence, twice is a pattern, three times is just what it is, right? Or I should say twice is a trend, three times is a pattern. Three times it just is what it is, and that's kind of where I'm at with this team. I'm at the point where I got to think Miami has got to be skeptical. And here's what I'll say. Despite the fact that this team has, to me, put together a roster that should be lockstep with Clemson, should be lockstep with Florida State, should be lockstep with those teams for contention in this conference, I honestly don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be. I've seen this team in years gone by lay down. I've seen this team quit on Mario Cristobal, and nothing changes about the guy, right? Like, I compare him right now to what I'm seeing out of Brian Snicker in the Atlanta Braves, right? Atlanta is flat right now. Atlanta's in a bad place right now. Atlanta can't get out of their own way. They can't make anything happen. Even the day that they do, in their second to last loss, they had three hits. A group of MLBers had three hits. As a team, they went 3-4-29. That's not good. Then in the game, they turn around and they get 10 hits. They give up 9 runs, and they lose that game as well. And I've said this to Cody Decker. I've said it on Bet for the Cycle. I've said it on this show. I've said it on You Better You Bet. I've said it on every other show that I've hosted or guested on. The most frustrating thing in the world for me is, like, every time they turn the camera around to Brian Snicker, he's just kind of like sitting on the bench looking around. Just another Tuesday. Braves lose. Just another Tuesday. And it's getting very frustrating because, to me, like, you got to do something. You got to do something, right? You got to bench somebody. You got to do something. And it's like Brian Snicker's not. I look at Mario Cristobal and I see the same thing. I see a coach who has spent 3 seasons watching his team underperform, watching his team lay down, and watching nothing come of it. And that's got to stop, all right? It's got to stop. All right, I wanted to do this. I put together a list of what I think, great one, is going to be the most impactful games in this conference so far this year. Put together a list of games that I think are going to be the games that dictate what this conference is going to look like when it is all said and done. And here's what I got. There's nowhere better to start than week one, game one, and that is Clemson and Georgia, right? Clemson, Georgia is a big deal. And it's not a big deal to me in terms of the result of the contest. It's a big deal to me in terms of learning who the hell Clemson is this year, right? Are they going to roll over? If they come out and they get punched in the mouth by Georgia, and they will.
By the way, it is a bigger deal if they were to win.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I don't care if they win by a point in the ninth overtime. Like, if they win this game, everybody else in the ACC's got to be on notice at that point. Florida State's on notice, SMU's on notice, Miami's on notice. If they win this game, everybody else is for sure, for certain, on notice. But to me, sorry, they're not winning this game, all right? Like, I'm all for the any given Saturday stuff. Y'all, Georgia is on a different level. The question to me isn't, can they win this game? And the answer is yes, they can win this game. But it will take Clemson playing a perfect game at a very, very high offensive output that we just haven't seen the last couple of years. And it will take Georgia making mistakes. A couple of turnovers, a couple of dumb plays here and there. It'll take mistakes from Uga and a perfectly efficient game from Clemson. The question mark I have is, are you A, going to compete? Are you B, not going to roll over? If you end up down 17, 20, 24 points, are you still going to come out firing, trying to get it right? And if the answer is yes, now all of a sudden that game in week two against Appalachian State, now that game's very interesting, right? Because do you turn around and you do what you should do and roll Appy at the house by 35? And we're going to get an idea. We are going to get an idea of who Clemson is on night one. But that is not the only week one game that I think matters. The other week one game, Miami opens up against Florida. Now, this is interesting because I think you have in this game a pair of coaches that may very well have their future at their current schools dictated by the result of this game. This game's in Gainesville, Florida. Billy Napier, when he was brought over, a lot of folks wanted to say that Billy Napier was the future. Billy Napier was the guy that was going to point this team in the right direction. He was going to get the recruiting right. Offensively, this team was going to hit a next level. And frankly, Florida hasn't. I'm not going to say they have regressed under Billy Napier, but they have certainly not progressed under Billy Napier. Miami, on the flip side, if Mario Cristobal loses this game against Florida on the road at Florida, if Mario Cristobal walks out of this game against, and I'm going to say, an inferior Florida Gator team, but it is in Gainesville, still one of the most difficult places to play, especially in week one when the Gator faithful have some level of belief in this squad. If Mario Cristobal loses this game at Florida in week one, Miami fans will be calling for him. They'll be coming for his head at that point. And I think that's a very big deal. So, I'm going to say week one, easily the two biggest games. Florida State, Georgia Tech, week zero. I'm going to say that qualifies, right? Because that, to me, is going to either tell everybody that FSU maintained levels of competitiveness that everybody thought they were going to lose when Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman and Trey Benson and the rest of that offense and Jordan Travis all went to the league, or it's going to tell everybody that they have taken the step back that so many people think that they have. That game's in Dublin, Ireland, so you've got all of the travel circumstances at play, too. Those are the three games from week one. Tell you what we're going to do. When we come back in the third hour of the show, we will take a look at the rest of what I consider the most impactful games of the ACC calendar this year. We will continue that after Lonzo does the most impactful thing that happens in these 4 hours, and he sports flashes you.
The Team USA soccer team got off to a rough start at the Summer Olympics, suffering a 3-0 defeat at the hands of powerhouse France. The U.S. held France goalless for just over an hour. But after Alexandre Lacazette beat Patrick Schultz. The floodgate opened. Michael Oli and Aloy Abadie finished off the assault. The Americans face New Zealand Sunday in game number two. The NBA has rejected an offer from Warner Brothers that might have signaled the return of the popular studio show Inside the NBA on TNT. Instead, the league signed an 11-year media rights deal with Disney, NBC, and Amazon Prime Video, valued at $76 billion. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.